Welcome to The Deep Dive, a deeper look at sermons from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church.
Hello. Today, we're diving into something really core. How do you keep your faith, your commitment, when life just absolutely falls apart?
Exactly. And we're looking at two giants, David and the Apostle Paul, through the lens of some recent teaching by Pastor Tim Travis. Our mission, to really unpack how to handle crises, overcome blame, and sustain that lifelong spiritual walk.
Yeah, we're looking at how they dealt with failure, sure, but also that really tough experience of being blamed unfairly and, you know, how they figured out what really matters.
You'll definitely get some solid insights on facing difficulties, understanding why persecution happens, and ultimately the reward of staying devoted.
It's about moving from that feeling of panic to, well, actually doing something constructive.
Right. And just a quick reminder before we jump in, you can find more teachings from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church on all the usual places, YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Just check out the website, faithwayfbc.com, for all the links and info.
Okay, so let's get started. Where do we begin, David?
Yes, let's start with David. Picture this, 1 Samuel chapter 30, the crisis of Ziklag.
Ah, yes. David and his men, they're coming back from being away, probably expecting, you know, a welcome home rest.
And instead, Ziklag is just gone, burned, utterly destroyed. And their families, wives, children, they've been captured by the Amalekites.
It's just immediate crushing loss. Everything they valued just wiped out while they were gone.
And the reaction is almost as devastating as the event itself. Pastor Tim Travis really zeroed in on this. The men, scripture says, were so distressed they spoke of stoning David.
Wow. Yeah, the pain instantly turns into blame. They needed a target, and David, the leader, was right there.
It really shows that tendency, doesn't it? Pastor Travis pointed out, the world often looks for someone to blame when things go wrong, and Christians can often be that easy target.
It's the path of least resistance for a crowd in pain, isn't it? Just point the finger.
And that blame game, it's often a diversion tactic. Pastor Travis warned about this, the world, the flesh, the devil, trying to shift our focus onto the wrong enemy.
Or just wrong things altogether, like, you know, getting caught up in appearances, maybe like those perfect-looking lives you see online, instead of the real spiritual fight.
If our main concern is looking good to others, or if we get drawn into fighting people who are just lashing out from hurt, well, we've lost the plot, haven't we?
Absolutely. We let outside pressures pull us away from what we're supposed to be focused on.
And Ziklag, it's such a powerful picture of what Pastor Travis called the loss of expectation. It's a tough one we all face.
Yeah, they expected glory, maybe, homecoming, and they got ashes. When those expectations we have maybe for marriage, career, whatever, just get torched, it's spiritually exhausting.
It leads right into a really crucial point from Pastor Kravis's teaching. Why do we get so burned by things like this? Often it's because we're looking for our validation from people.
Right. We want that pat on the back, that approval. And when circumstances or people fail us,
we get that punch in the gut, as Pastor Travis put it. It hurts because our foundation was in the wrong place.
So David couldn't rely on his distressed men for stability. It had to come from somewhere else.
Exactly. Real stability, Pastor Travis emphasized, drawing from 2 Timothy, comes from pleasing Christ, who chose us, you know, to be his soldiers. Our validation has to be vertical, not horizontal.
And what's amazing is how quickly David turns it around. While the men are weeping and blaming David, he gets focused. He shows discernment.
Yeah, he noticed something critical the others missed in their grief. The Amalekites hadn't killed everyone. The scripture says they flew not any, neither great or small. They were taken captive, but alive.
That detail is huge. It lets David ask the right question, the one we need to ask in crisis. Is this a testing because I'm trying to do right? Or is it correction because I've strayed?
The fact they were spared suggested maybe this wasn't final judgment, but a test. A severe one, but a test.
So what did he do? Faced with despair and mutiny?
He found the antidote. Encouragement and action. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6 is just monumental. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
He didn't wait for someone else to cheer him up. He took spiritual responsibility right then and there.
Didn't call a council of war, didn't try to appease the mob. He went straight to God. He told Abiathar the priest, bring me hither the ephod.
And the ephod, for listeners, was that sacred garment, a way to formally seek God's guidance. It was a deliberate act. I need divine direction now.
His prayer wasn't long or fancy, just direct, focused. Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?
Simple faith. And the answer, just as direct.
Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. crystal clear instruction.
And here, Pastor Travis highlighted a key principle. An effort is demanded before a blessing can be given. God answered, but David still had to do something.
Right. God's not our cosmic errand boy. We have to take the initiative. David had to gather his weary men, the 400, who could still go and pursue.
And the result? It's incredible. He recovered all. Everything. Pastor Travis emphasized, not one little spoon was lost. Complete restoration followed faithful action.
That's the power of moving past blame, seeking God, and then acting on his word. David got his validation right there.
Okay, so from David's immediate crisis and recovery, let's shift to Paul. He represents maybe a different kind of commitment, one focused on a more deferred eternal reward.
Paul's story is powerful because of what he walked away from. His worldly credentials were, frankly, staggering.
Yeah, think about it. He was a freeborn Roman citizen. That was a big deal. Legal protection, status.
Meant he couldn't just be beaten or crucified without due process, unlike many others. Huge advantage.
Plus, born in Tarsus, a major center of culture and learning. And then, the big one, trained under Gamaliel in Jerusalem.
And we can't just gloss over Gamaliel. He was the preeminent Jewish scholar of his day. Being his student put Paul on the fast track to the highest levels of Jewish leadership.
So citizenship, culture, education, religious standing. He had it all, a perfect resume.
Yet in Philippians 3, he looks at all that privilege, all those advantages, and calls it, well, the King James says, dung, refuse, garbage.
Why? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, he completely reevaluated everything based on knowing Christ. A total paradigm shift.
Before Christ, all that intensity, that zeal, was pointed in the opposite direction. He talks about his conversation in time past, his lifestyle persecuting the church beyond measure.
He wasn't just passively disagreeing. He was actively trying to destroy it, forcing people to blaspheme, approving Stephen's execution. Extreme stuff.
Which makes his conversion on the road to Damascus in Acts 9 even more dramatic. That blinding light, the voice of Jesus himself.
Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That direct encounter with the risen Lord is what qualified him uniquely as an apostle. He saw Christ.
But here's another interesting point Pastor Travis made. Even after that incredible experience, God didn't download the whole plan instantly. No vision of writing half the New Testament or becoming the great missionary.
No, just the baby steps, right? Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do.
It's a reminder for us, isn't it? We want the whole map, but usually God just gives us the next step. Maybe knowing the full weight of the future is just too much for us at first.
Yeah, we often can't handle the full blueprint. Just take the step in front of you.
And then comes his commission. The irony is just perfect. Paul, this incredibly zealous elite Jew,
gets appointed as the apostle, preacher, and teacher to the Gentiles, to the very people he likely looked down upon before. God has a sense of humor, maybe.
Or just a profound sense of purpose. And Paul embraced it, but the cost.
No.
It was immense.
Oh, absolutely. That list in 2 Corinthians 11, it's almost hard to read. The beatings, stripes above measure, meaning illegal amounts of flogging, constant imprisonment, shipwreck 3 times.
Dangers from rivers, robbers, even false brethren people pretending to be believers but working against him. Remember, this is the Roman citizen choosing to endure things his citizenship should have protected him from.
And beyond the physical toll, Pastor Travis mentioned that daily mental and spiritual weight, the care of all the churches. Imagine the stress of guiding these new, scattered, often persecuted groups.
Yet he kept going, right to the end. In 2 Timothy 4, facing death, he sees it not as defeat, but as completion. He's ready to be offered, like a drink offering poured out in sacrifice.
His eyes were fixed on the finish line, on that crown of righteousness God promised to everyone who loves and eagerly waits for Christ's return.
Paul is just this incredible pattern of what total commitment looks like. His life shouts that worldly things, citizenship, education, status, they pale in comparison to a life lived for Christ.
Pastor Travis summed it up with that powerful, sobering thought. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That puts everything in perspective.
So pulling these threads together from David and Paul, they both faced intense opposition, blame, accusation. David nearly got stoned. Paul was branded a troublemaker, a rebel rouser. Even Jesus faced accusations of being demonic.
Right.
It's part of the territory, it seems. So how do we respond when that blame comes our way? Pastor Travis pointed us to Daniel.
Daniel 6. The decree goes out, pray to anyone but the king, and you end up in the lion's den. Deadly serious.
What does Daniel do? Panic. Hide. Compromise. Nope. He goes to his room, opens his windows toward Jerusalem just like he always did, and prays publicly.
He bust open those two hands window, as Pastor Travis colorfully put it. He refused to let fear of what people thought or what they might do change his devotion.
That's the challenge, isn't it? That courage, rooted in consistent habit. Don't let the fear of criticism or cancellation dictate your faithfulness.
It's about whose approval matters most, man's or God's.
David got his immediate reward. He recovered everything. Paul looked forward to an eternal reward, the crown. Pastor Travis believes that ultimately in heaven, all will be explained. All the whys will make sense.
Which leads us to a final thought, something really provocative Pastor Travis left listeners with. Imagine if God offered you a glimpse, just for a moment.
A glimpse of what?
Of the what ifs. The life you might have lived if you hadn't chosen to follow Christ. The other path, the one you avoided by committing to him, would you actually want to see it?
Wow. That's a heavy question. It really makes you think about the value of the path you did choose.
Exactly. That decision to stand firm like Daniel, to take initiative like David, to count it all lost like Paul, and find your validation in God, it matters profoundly.
People are watching. Your commitment, your faithfulness, it has an impact you might not even realize.
So take that initiative this week. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Refuse to get stuck in the blame game. Thanks so much for joining us for this deep dive.
And remember, you can always catch up on this or other deep dives. Just visit faithwayfbc.com for links to YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more resources.
Until next time.